Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Good morning, Philip.
We just got a promotion today.
Yes, we're called gentlemen.
We were referred to as gentlemen. I feel so good.
Yeah, we've been referred many other ways. But today we are gentlemen.
So may I ask, you sometimes carry things in little Ziploc bags, and you have that
I think
here.
We agreed we wouldn't do that. I thought we were going to speak about the beautiful celebrations this week.
Yes, let's talk about this time of year. It is, in all seriousness.
Well, the bag, I carry Splenda with me, okay? Because I don't always find it out there, and I hate the other possibility, sugar or brown sugar, which is healthier.
It is just humor seeing you carry it around in your plastic bag.
It's from my traveling, so... When I travel, I carry a Splenda bag.
So this is my favorite time of year that we're coming up on. So All Saints Day and All Souls Day. You know, it's the first of all, just seasonally, kind of deep into fall and just a nice time. I've got recollection of when I was in school. You're sort of in the heart of the semester then. But this is that time where kind of that layer between the living and the dead is just thinner. And you recall those who've gone before us. And so I like the feasts that are coming up on All Saints Day and All Souls Day.
I like the connection between these two feasts. Both what they both have in common, All Souls and All Saints, is the communion of saints. This one of the doctrines of the Catholic Church, that we are connected with those who have preceded us and who are saints because they are in heaven. Then All Saints will celebrate the call to holiness that everybody has. Beautiful celebration. I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, I want to get to the gospel because this is a great gospel. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you got a chance to look ahead on this. We sit down and look for the first time here, but it's a great gospel. I love it. It's one of my favorites. And this, by the way, is for Sunday, November 3rd. That's going to be the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time.
And we are reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10.
At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now, a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." So this story is unique to Luke's gospel, and I just love it because of just what's going on here. You know, there's humor in it, obviously, with Zacchaeus being short of stature, and this wealthy man, this chief tax collector, who's going to run up to a tree to see Jesus. And it's a beautiful little picture here of grace meeting us where we're at. As you see then, Jesus' response to Zacchaeus' desire to a different life and to convert from this life. Clarify, by the way, I think it's important, tax collectors in that era. Corrupt.
Well, we've said several things about this. They were corrupt, and that's why he says, if I have He doesn't say I have. He says if I have cheated on anyone, I will pay it four times over. It also, the tax collectors were in collaboration with the Roman Empire, so that's why, and tax collectors are tax collectors. People don't like tax collecting, right?
But not in the same way as an IRS agent. I think that's what's important to say is, yes, we know.
There was a part of that, right? And the taxes were going for the people that were occupying the land. So, and then there was a religious issue also, that they were managing foreign money and getting in touch with foreign people, so that's why it was even worse. The point is that this man was wealthy, but totally disconnected, totally disapproved by Jewish society.
Well, and in a sense, so he's on the margins of society.
Yeah.
So sometimes, very often, we think of the margins of society, and in the Gospels here too, of being poor. He's on the margins, yeah. In fact, because of his wealth, which is a really interesting thing to think about.
Because of the way he has made his wealth.
Sure.
Yeah.
But he's on the margins of society, and I think it's important to see that people can be on the margins for different reasons. Mm-hmm. It's not just being poor.
That's a good point. I like also that he is someone who is seeking Jesus. I think that the Gospels show a predilection for characters who are seeking Jesus. And it would be good for us also to keep this attitude that we don't have all the answers, that we are seekers of Jesus more than people who settle down, complacent people who settle down, as you have said many times.
Compare this to the rich man just a few verses prior in chapter 18, who cannot detach from his wealth. I love the little comparison here of two different individuals. That man who can't detach and sadly walks away as perhaps not a disciple of Jesus. And here's Zacchaeus is doing all he can to make sure Jesus just doesn't even walk by him to get his attention.
But I had this discussion with someone, if you can believe it, with someone who comes to church often. And I said, well, I'm not sure Zacchaeus is a disciple either. And let me tell you why. Precisely in that scene of the wealthy lawyer, he says, give everything to the poor. And Zacchaeus has said that he will give half of what he has to the poor. You know what I mean? I'm trying to argue that if, because he doesn't give everything, he gives half of it, and then from what is left, four times over, if he has deceived anyone, if he has committed fraud with anyone, I want to think that Jesus had friendships also, you know what I mean? Or that he had his closest disciples, but other people that were around. And Zacchaeus becomes that more than just a full-time disciple of Jesus. You know what I mean?
I think it's a very good thought. And I think it's very possible that he doesn't become a disciple. And I like what you're saying, to say those who might, maybe be affiliated with Jesus in some other way. But this is why I think his profession is so important in the nature of that. I think if he gives up tax collecting in that culture, which is corrupt,
is he giving tax collecting?
Very corrupt.
Does he say that?
Not necessarily, but there's an implication that he will. I think Jesus says, okay.
What is the implication? I don't think he says he's going to give half of what he has, and then he's going to review his history.
Sure.
To see if he has defrauded anyone. I don't think he's saying, I'm going to give up tax collecting.
Perhaps not, but
you know what I mean?
But if he's giving up the corrupt part of tax collecting, if he's saying he's going to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, that's important. That's different than an IRS agent who is an administrative official.
Sure.
Here, this is a man who is personally benefiting from this, and he says, I'm going to change my life. That's just what I'm trying to say. I'm going to make a major change here. And whether he becomes a disciple or not, that's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What I'm trying to get at is to say, I think Jesus still meets him where he's at, to say, all right, you know what? You got five sins here, five big sins in your life. Let's work at the moment on the top two big ones.
Yeah.
The other three are wrong. We need to, you might need to truly quit being a tax collector, but you're starting and I'm going to meet you where you're at. And grace meets us where we're at. That's my larger, we're going back and forth. That's my larger thought on this. You may disagree, but that's
I disagree with the part that tax collecting for Jesus wasn't a sin, because the religious sin was precisely that you were cooperating with the Romans. And Jesus shows sympathy for many Roman characters at many times. For me, the main point here is that there is a crowd. He's intending to pass through a town, and then there is this connection between these two people. So for me, the Gospels, one Christmas I remember preaching about, the Gospel is a book of encounters with Jesus, and this is one of the greatest ones. I mean, whatever happens afterwards, the man experiences a transformation, because he's seeking for Jesus. And when he encounters Jesus, he pays full attention to what Jesus is telling him. So yesterday I was talking to someone about, you know, this line that people use, the personal encounter with Christ, mm-hmm. which I don't always know exactly what it means. I know what it doesn't mean, and we use it many times, and I'm not sure we know what it means. But this is a personal encounter with Christ. This person is seeking for Jesus. Jesus encounters him. They encounter each other, and there is a beautiful transformation. I think that's what is most worth in this gospel to reflect.
There is, but it's not a black and white encounter. What's neat about this is how slowly it starts. Mm-hmm. So it's Zacchaeus kind of looking for Jesus, and in the end, you know, Jesus changes his travel plan here and comes into this guy's house, comes into Zacchaeus' house. If you're Zacchaeus, and we should all see ourselves as Zacchaeus, how incredible to think about just that first encounter we might seek out and look for. And all of a sudden now the Lord is with us face to face.
And he's it says he receives him with joy.
Right.
He never says, the gospel never says that about many other places where Jesus is welcome. You know, when he's welcome in the house of a Pharisee and there is no joy, here there is joy. So that's the joyful encounter with Jesus. For many of us, the experience of faith is a gloomy one. And here it tells you, the seeking Jesus, encountering Jesus, transforming your life, and welcoming Jesus with joy into your house. I think that's a whole process that is beautiful. And then we see the complaining of those around Jesus saying, right. Oh, he's eating with sinners.
But Zacchaeus stood there. That there's that description. As that grumbling is taking place, Zacchaeus stood there and speaks to the Lord. It's that courage, in a sense, to say, I'm still here. The rest of society, represented perhaps by the people around here at the moment, are complaining, are trying to confuse, are trying to create negativity here. But no, I'm staying here with the Lord. I like that.
I agree.
So I don't know exactly where I'm going to go. Do you have a thought yet?
Yeah, for me, this models the personal encounter with Christ, a line that I've heard many times and I never really captured what it meant. Maybe we go to scripture and we find people who are seeking, people who encounter Jesus and pay attention to that encounter, who let their lives to be transformed, who then express joyfully the fruits of that encounter. I think it models what the personal encounter with Christ may be for us.
Yeah, this really models a discipleship journey. I think this is good. I'm looking forward to this weekend and really looking forward to praying a little bit more over this gospel. Mm-hmm. It speaks to all of us.
See you next week.
I'll see you next week.
Take care.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media, but today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com. Go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there, which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Father Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.